Well, you ready? Got your seatbelts on? There's a lot of stuff in this section of Scripture. As you read it and as you think about it, it's once again a text, and the last one I had was in Ephesians 1, had a text where it was like way too much to cover. In fact, our dear friend Spurgeon, Pastor Spurgeon, he would take each one of these verses and preach the whole sermon on just one verse. So here we go. All right. It's a great text, and I'm not being... can we go to the PowerPoint here? Thank you. Thank you, Cindy, for your help with this. I appreciate that very much. All right. Here we go. Well, actually, the sermon is not that, although I like that. It's Paul's powerful prayer beyond imagination. There, you ask, and there it is. Oh, secrets. You got your laser? I got more than that. No. I don't need that. I don't need your laser. Anyway, this is a great prayer. Oh, to be able to pray like Paul. Oh, my goodness. Well, to preach like him, to witness like him, to start churches like him, to pastor like him, on and on and on. To love like him. Just an amazing man. And think how he was a work of God's great grace, an instrument of grace, where he was called to suffer. We don't really like that part of our Christian calling, do we? Well, we got to suffer. No fun. But anyway, this is a very powerful text. So let's dig right into it, okay? For this reason, I kneel before the Father. You know, it's still okay to kneel. Sometimes people forget, I'm too old for that. If I kneel, I can't get back up. Well, it's really an attitude of the heart, of humility, of lowering ourselves to raise up God, that we kneel, or whatever posture we have. It's not so much the position of our body, it's the position of our soul and our heart, right? If we're aligned with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, who we're going to talk about today. But anyway, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We think about the communion of saints, the holy Christian church, which is called to be one. And it's a united both in heaven and on earth. The communion of saints includes those who of us are here, as well as our loved ones who died in Christ in heaven, right? It's a connection. When we worship, the church in heaven and the church on earth comes together, and sometimes you can feel that. You can feel that Jerry's still here. You can feel that all our loved ones that used to be with us in physically are here with us when we worship especially. That we are connected in a mystical way with the with heaven and earth coming together, the church. One of the Spanish songs that we sing a lot, Los Angeles de Dios, talks about we're not sure if heaven comes down when we worship or we go up. Somehow there's a holy plus special place where people come and they worship. When we worship, things happen, right? They really do happen. We can just say, when is this getting over? It's not just reading some words on a PowerPoint. It's what's in our heart and worshiping in the Holy Spirit, in faith, and in adoration. We're going to talk about that later. Here we go. All right, so Paul says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and earth derives its name, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit and His inner being. Okay, I got to stop there. Paul's long sentences. They're long ones. He's praying that out of God's power, out of God's riches, that what would he prays about would happen. So many times we forget, if we're a doer, we think it's up to me to get things. It's up to me to change people. It's up to me for things to happen to my family. It's up to me for things to occur, or change, whatever, in our lives or our work, wherever. Whose riches, whose power ultimately is it? Exactly. And it's so we are called over and over again is to be in Christ. And that little word, and it's E-N in Greek, means in union with, connected with. It's like the vine and the branches. It's a divine connection between us and Jesus. His strength becomes our strength, and He takes on our weaknesses. He takes on all of our junk and our sins and our problems. He carries them. It's an unfair exchange for Jesus, isn't it? He takes all our junk, and we get all His riches and all His love and all His mercy and all His grace and forgiveness over, and love and peace and joy and hope on and on, and just truckloads of blessings over and over again. That's why we fall to our knees and we say, praise to the Lord the Almighty. We give thanks and praise, and we love our Lord. Well, I'm giving away the stuff later here. That's for later. Okay, but he prayed. He says, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Here he's praying that out of God's riches He may strengthen us with power. There's a lot of words here about strength and power in this text here. And I've got so much to cover, and there's just not enough time to do it all. Man, in the Greek, it talks about the original Greek word is dunamis. That's the word we get for dynamite. So the power of God is in us. The power, the dynamite of God is in us in the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. It brings people to know Christ. We're worried about our loved ones and our neighbors that don't know Christ. We don't have the power to change them. They don't have the power to change themselves, right? To change themselves. It's Jesus Christ. And when this power of God comes, the dynamite of God into a person's life, look out. And Paul knew that because he'd seen it in his own home life, and now he's praying about it, that the power of God would come upon them. The power of God. That he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. The other word for power is kratos. It's the word we get from democratic, the power of the people. Kratos is the power of coming together. It's the power of when someone who has strength comes together and has influence. So we have the dynamite of God, the kratos of God, the power of God coming into a believer's life. And have you ever felt that strength of God when you felt weak? And can I hear an amen? Amen, right? When's the last, does anybody want to share? When have you felt the power of God recently? Waking up, absolutely. Just getting up. Amen to that. That can't be minimized. Anybody else? Opening song. Amen. Absolutely. Anybody else? We saw John this morning. Cool. People don't realize the joy we get when we see them here. If we come to worship, see a brother and sister in Christ, it gives us great joy. Absolutely. Well, we could go on, and we have our own book of Acts and talk about how God has been at work in our lives and His strength got us through. We ever had a situation where we thought, I don't think I can make this. I don't, just God, but one more thing, just one more thing, I don't know. And God says, I know. Just look to me, and I will give you strength, I will give you rest. Because sometimes He gives us more than we can handle, so that we have to rely on Him. I don't believe that phrase, well, God won't give you more than you can handle. Oh, yeah? I don't buy that. That's not in the Bible. It talks about temptation, that He won't give us more. But when it comes to power, we become powerless, so we have to rely on God, who even raises the dead, right? The Bible talks about that. So, we have this strength, we have this power, not from us, but through Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I pray out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Wow. We're praying that God would strengthen us and empower us through whom? The Holy Spirit. I remember years ago in the Apostle Creed, I believe in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Well, at least it's not He's holy, I guess. Like, what does that mean? Like Casper? The Holy Ghost? Some mythical, mystical thing. The Holy Spirit is part of the triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we the other night in our healing prayer, did you feel somebody there besides just us when we're at our chairs here with Sandy and I and Pastor Rick and Robin were praying? Did you feel someone else was kind of giving you a little strength, a little oomph, a big oomph, right? Who was that? The Holy Spirit. He was all over the place. It was amazing. It was really incredible. Whether we got physical healing or an immediate answer to prayer or not, we got power. And we got blessed. And I don't understand how that happens. It's like, how does that happen? We come together, and whoo, He just shows up, which we praise God for His presence. And that's what Paul is talking about here, that we would receive strength and power through His Holy Spirit, through His Spirit. There's nothing like the Holy Spirit. When He comes and shows up, He brings all the truth about God the Father and about Jesus, and He brings it right into our hearts, right? And healing, when you talk about healing, it's not some medical paper, academic discussion about God or theology or medical tests, how to get healed, right? It's not that. You experience, I'll still never forget, in your upper room, your bedroom, she wants me to pray, and she's in this bad of shape, and they're expecting me to pray, and I'm this young pastor, and going, oh boy, we weren't taught this in seminary, but God showed up. In our weakness, right, we look to Jesus, and here she is still. And how many years ago has that been? Come on! 20 years ago. Praise God. And we have stories like Alex and your dad, and over again, where God's power was through the Holy Spirit. So we want this to be an opportunity where you don't just hear about the Holy Spirit, but you hear Him and you experience Him and feel Him in your life, whatever's going on now, right now. It's like going to the gas station and we're getting filled up with more of the Spirit right now as He fills us up. And it's like a big waterfall, like Niagara Falls. I could not believe when I looked right over the falls and they're right over there. All that water, millions of gallons of water, nonstop. Does anybody turn off this? It just keeps going and going and going and going. That's what God's power and His love through the Holy Spirit keeps replenishing us and filling us over and over and over and over again. And we don't get tired of it, right? Because we leak. I leak all the time. And that's what we need to meditate on God's Word, because in this section of Scripture, I've meditated on the same Scripture for a whole month, every day, taking a different word, different part of the section of Scripture, applying it to my life. And there's something about meditating, like the verse we have that we send out, right, Donna? You send that verse out, and you try to send it to the pastor. You get him now? You get him now? That's good, because we don't want the pastor out of this, right? Out of the loop. But same verse for a while, not for a long time, but it's the same verse, and we meditate on that and watch how God uses His Word in an amazing way. It's so cool. It's so awesome. All right, so we have this power of God, and Spurgeon, our good friend Spurgeon, talks about the top of the ladder. This is like a ladder, this prayer. There's one step, and there's another step, and there's another step, and we'll talk about here in a little bit. So we have the Holy Spirit who comes to us, and can we go to the next one, please? No, stay there. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. So we have the Holy Spirit inside us, not just so we feel good, but that what's the purpose there on the next step of the ladder is that Christ may dwell where? In our heads? It's in the church building. In Pastor Rick, he's the holy conduit. We just come to Him. No, it's He lives, and that word dwells means takes residence in your heart and my heart. We used to ask little kids a lot of times, where's Jesus? And they go, in my heart. And that's true. It's very true. He's in heaven. He's everywhere. But He also lives inside our hearts. Have you ever felt His presence? It's like, hey, He's with me. Jesus is really, really here. He's getting me through the storm, through the drought. Whether it's a storm drought, the farmers in Midwest are having a heck of a time because they can't get into the fields to plant their crops. And they got all this seed that they spent a lot of money for, and sitting there because they can't get into the wet fields. And they got lakes where it used to be fields, and they're thinking they may just not have a crop this year. And can you imagine? And there's many farmers that are depressed and suicidal, losing their hope. So we need to pray for those farmers really bad. And we have droughts in our life where when are we going to have something good happen? When is this going to stop? Either we get the floods or the drought. How about a little in between? A little rain, a little sunshine together, right? And sometimes that happens, and sometimes it doesn't. But who's with us? We need to remember that God is Emmanuel, which means God with us, right? He's with us. Thanks be to God. So Christ lives in our hearts by faith. We can't always feel Him. Sometimes we can't, but we know by faith, we trust, and we believe that Jesus is inside me. Not just out there, but deep in here. I wasn't taught that in seminary. It was all, well, we'll get to that later. Okay, next slide, please. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now, there's a sermon right there, just that. The word for rooted in the Greek is the same word we get for radish. I remember that was one thing in Illinois that I could grow because I don't have a green thumb. And I remember my folks giving me a package of seeds from Ace Hardware, and I couldn't wait to put these seeds in the ground. They go, well, this is something that's easier to grow than sweet corn or cantaloupe or something like that. Everybody can grow radish. Well, that's in Illinois. I don't know what can grow here. I tried nothing, yeah. Anyway, in Illinois, in the Midwest, everybody can grow radishes. The word radish, radizo, in Greek means roots. And if you plant radishes, you don't eat the greens, you eat the part that's under the ground. So we are rooted, our roots are in God's love, right? How are your roots? How deep are your roots? We know with our monsoons coming soon, and they will come, I don't know when, but they'll be coming here. I always get a kick out, they have this official start of the monsoon, according to the TV. Like, huh? So now it's officially the monsoon, and now it's not officially yet. So we've got a microburst here, but this isn't monsoon season. What? Anyway, when we have those, if we have them this year, we'll see a lot of trees down, right? Because they aren't rooted. You got to have strong roots. So we are called, in the same way when the storms of life hit us, we are called to have roots to go deep and be grounded. If someone's well grounded, they've got a foundation, right? They've got some stability in their lives. And we all need stability. I tell you, the families I work with, oh, we talk about that all the time. Security and stability. Security and stability in the family. That the children have gone through a lot would feel safe and secure in their home. And that the parents would feel that as well and feel supported and safe and secure. So we are called to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. That's a lot right there. I could go on and on about this. The love of God, can we measure it? We cannot measure it. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and grounded or established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp or to comprehend how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. So how wide, how long, how deep, how wide, deep and wide. There was a song we used to sing years ago, right? Deep and wide. I haven't thought of that for a long time. But it's true, that's how deep the love of God is. And Spurgeon, in another one of his sermons, calls this God's heavenly geometry, which I love. I used to hate algebra and advanced math. I hated it. I was so bad. I remember erasing holes in my paper. I'd be erasing so much, and I got so upset about math. My brain does not work with math. It just doesn't do it. I can't do math, but geometry I like. And trigonometry I thought was fun. I don't know why. The shapes and all that. Well, here is God's heavenly geometry. Paul says, just try to grasp, along with the rest of everybody in your church, just how deep and how wide and how long and how immeasurable the love of God is. And one of the Greek words for deep is bathos. We talk about bathyscope when someone tries to go down below and studies the ocean depths. It's a lot deeper than people ever imagined. There are creatures down there that are beyond description. They're weird looking because it's a whole different world. It's so deep. And then you think about space, how vast space is. And God says, that's nothing compared to the measurableness of my love for you individually. It cannot be measured. A measuring stick cannot, you can't analyze it. And what happened in seminary is that they had a lot of good things that they taught us about God's Word, but it was all head knowledge. And it's beyond what we can know. And Paul says this here. How long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ? And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's not just knowing, do you know that God loves you? Yes, I know that God loves me. No, do you know it experientially? Do you feel His love that no matter what you go through in jail or wherever it might be, no matter how low you are, no matter how hopeless it is in our lives, that I love you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to embrace you and I'm going to fill you with my love. Do you know that love? Do you experience that love? Spurgeon talks about this. A soul that's so full of God that There's not language for it. With a love, you feel God's love, and you can't describe it in words. It goes beyond language, doesn't it? It's just indescribable. And we have songs, indescribable, uncontainable. You can't measure the love of God, but you sure can feel and experience it, right? And you can share that with others. That's what this powerful prayer is from Paul. It's incredible. He's praying that every single believer would, and every single person would feel and experience that love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled, here we go again, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Okay, so he wants us to be filled up beyond measure to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now that's saying a lot. We can't contain the fullness of God. How do you describe that? How do you even come close to that? That's why some people, when they felt God in a very special way, it was overwhelming. They couldn't take it because it was so wonderful, so glorious that their bodies and their minds couldn't. We scarce can take it in, as that one hymn talks about. We can hardly take in that God would love me, right? All that I've done, and forgive me over and over and over, and give me mercy and grace. And no matter what I do, as I come back to Him in faith and repentance, He forgives me and He fills me up over and over. We get filled up, right? We talk about, fill my cup, Lord, fill us up. So, that's some good stuff there, right? I would encourage all of us, myself too, meditate on this through this week and read it over and over again. There was one pastor who gave a prescription, not a medication, because I want you to read 2 Peter every day for 3 months, and at least 4 times a day. So the guy did this, and he turned into like our Romans guy. He started quoting Peter to everybody because it so enriched his life. He started reading it, and it became part of his life. We want this word to be such a part of our life that where we go, we carry this with us. Instead of saying, Pastor, where's that verse? Or Google, Siri, where is that verse? We have it hidden in our hearts so the Holy Spirit can use that amazing power of the Word of God, right? All right, now he finishes. Oh, boy. Let's go. Here we go. This is beyond imagination what Paul's going to talk about. Some of us have good imaginations. Some of our kids really have good imaginations, right? You give them a box, and sometimes they like the box more than what's in the box, right? They play with it and play for hours in that box, and they can have an imagination. And our kids, we need to have our kids really work on their imagination instead of having all just given to them. In the same way with our lives, Einstein had a great quote about imagination being very important. And we sing about, I can only imagine about what heaven's going to be like. But this is the way he closes the section of Scripture. It's called Paul's doxology, or Paul's hymn of praise. He says, now, to him who has the ability, who is able to do, and here we go again, all these words, exceedingly, abundantly, above all. In the Greek, those are power-packed words even more than the English. It's beyond measure. The word we get for hyper, when something's hyper, active, they're beyond measure, they're active. If something's hyper, it's beyond measure, it's a lot. One of the words is hyper, beyond measure, above any other one else can do. He's able to do that. Our God is able. There was an old song, old hymn that we used to sing at Promise Keepers. He is able, more than able, to do what he needs to do. So he's able to do exceedingly abundantly what all we ask or think. So we think about our prayer list. All that we can ask, is it okay to ask God for things? Some people say, oh no, that's selfish. No, that's fine. That's part of it. So beyond what I can ask, or even go, I wonder what God can do in this situation. This is really important. If we can imagine what God can do and think what God can do, this verse claims and says, promises that God can do more than we can think or imagine. So we can imagine, we can think, okay, God's done this, he could do this, he could do that. God says, oh, wait a minute, is that all you're going to ask me for? Come on, I'm God. You're insulting me, this little, God, will you help me with this, please? It's amazing what God can do when we let Him, right? And let God release our faith. So he's able to do above and beyond measure what we can ask or think, according, oh, here's the power word again, according to the power that works where? In us. So the power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside us. Don't say, what? Jesus, that same power is here? Really? Yes, really. To him be glory in the church. Why do we give him praise and glory? Because of what we just said. That's some powerful, power-packed stuff, right? That he can do more than we can even ask or imagine in my life, in my kids' life, my grandkids' life. So, well, then, the least we could do is say, thank you, right? What a gift. We are called to adore, give adoration to God. There is an acronym for worship. I'm almost done here. It's ACTS, ACTS, right? The A is for adoration. The C is for confession. We just did that today. We have confession of our sins. The T is thanksgiving. Don't forget to thank God instead of gimme, 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 gimme. But the S is supplication, asking God to supply our needs. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's all the aspect of prayer. When we worship, we come, we sing this at Christmas time, oh, come, let us adore him. When you're adoring someone, are you worried about what time it is? Are you falling asleep? No, I want to get done with this. Or, I don't like that song. I like the other tune better. It's too country. There's not enough country. You're too loud. It's too slow. Too fast. Anyway, that worship, when we adore someone, it's heart to heart. It's our heart connecting someone else's heart when we're in love with that person and sharing that love. And the same with Jesus Christ, except even deeper. How deep is that love? And so we say, oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. We adore him. We praise him. And Spurgeon has some great words about this. He talks about this. Okay, computer. I'm trying to get high-tech here. You know how that works with me, right? Hold on. I wasn't supposed to do this. It doesn't like me. I've had issues with my laptop all week. Here we go. Okay. No, Glacier National Park. I don't know where. Okay, so much for that. I will never do that again. But here's one quote I did write down. Oh, Holy Spirit, strengthen my feeble mind, that I may be able to receive more of my Lord. Give me more capacity. Give me a clearer perspective. Give me a better memory when I need that. Give me an intense affection, and give me a larger faith. Strengthen me. Encourage me, build me up in Jesus' name. And one of the things that Spurgeon talks about, he says, do we ever feel like we're jealous of the disciples? Well, they could see Jesus. They could walk on the road to Emmaus. And Spurgeon says we should have such a faith and experience with Jesus that we don't envy the disciples because we've got Jesus with us all the time, not just walking the road to Emmaus, but he's living inside us day in and day out and has such a close relationship with Jesus. Well, I'm going to look for that prayer, and I may we may use it a little bit later if I can get, and because it's really powerful from Spurgeon. And it goes beyond words, though, beyond imagination what God can do. So here's the bottom line, right? What can God do in you? What can God do in us, in this little church? It's beyond imagination. And let's use this time to expand our faith and look to him. Because there's a book that Cindy gave me, thank you, Cindy, that talks about this very, it says, Overcomer, 8 Ways to Live a Life of Unstoppable Strength, Unmovable Faith, and Unbelievable Power. We don't want this power to be unbelievable. We want it to be believable and experiential in our lives where we experience the power of God. And to that end, we come to the Lord and we pray.